So that was up yesterday, addressing the question that the Rishonim would bother with in our sugya. Whenever a person is mekadesh anisha with anything that smacks of ribbis, even something that the Gemara knocks down to a mere ribbis derabanan, it's haram as ribbis. It looks a little bit, it smells a little bit like ribbis. The Rishonim would bother with the question, why isn't this real ribbis? At the end of the day, he lent her $100, he gets back the $100, and he gets a wife. So why doesn't the wife, why doesn't she serve as, in a sense, the Dmei HaRibbis on a love of Deraisa? So the Gemara is clear that it's not Deraisa. We just have to figure out why is that so. So we saw yesterday, Machlekes in the Rashba and the Ritva in our sugya. The Rashba understood that it's not Ribbis Deraisa because he doesn't really get anything, because a woman is not Nikne to Habal. It's true that the Mishnah calls it Isha Niknes, but in terms of a real monetary relationship, so it doesn't really exist. And in order for Ribbis to take effect, Minat Torah, so the husband has to gain something monetarily. Just getting a wife is not considered to be a monetary gain because Ain Isha Niknes Labailo. So the Ritva went down the same path that getting married is not a monetary gain, but for a very, very different approach. The Ritva emphasized the fact that, not that the husband is not getting anything, he is getting something. He's getting tangible, he's getting a wife, Isha Niknes Labailo, but it's costing him something as well. What's it costing him? She'er Ksus Va'ona, he has to support his wife, he has so many different monetary obligations. At the end of the day, he's monetarily, I didn't say totally losing more than he's gaining, hopefully not, but monetarily he's, in a sense, losing more than he's gaining. In order for it to be ribbis, the malva has to walk away with a total gain. If he's walking away with a total loss, if his bills are going to cost him more than the quote-unquote Isha Niknes Labailo, that's not going to be ribbis deraisa. So we said at the very end of the shiur yesterday that this machlokes, the Rashba and the Ritva, is not just relevant in terms of the intricacies, the technical details of asugya, but it touches on a fundamental question: what is the relationship of marriage? Is marriage really a kinyan? Is marriage really a monetary transaction? Or marriage is not that at all? We use lashonus of kinyan, you know, isha niknes, kicha, etc., because we have to describe, you know, just lashon b'nei adam in a sense what's going on. But in terms of pure halacha, so it's not really a kinyan. In terms of pure halacha, it's a relationship. It's a issa v'heter, it's evan ezer, it's not really cheshem mishpat. So we've touched upon this throughout the year, different times. This nuance of a question has come up. But if I'm not mistaken, I think the very, I don't know if it was the first, it was the second sugya, but this goes back to September days, where we spoke about a famous question that the Echronim asked, which very much touches upon this Rashba and the Ritva of our sugya. The Gemara is quite clear that once a woman is married, so she can't accept Kiddush from somebody else. That's like an ABCs. Ein Kiddush and Tosin, Be'eshes Ish. The question is, why? Conceptually, why is that true? Why can't Rachel will accept Kiddush from Reuven, and then she'll accept Kiddush from Shimon? She has to get a get from both. Why is that? Doesn't make any sense. So the Pnei Yehoshua, as a Chiddush Gaon, the Pnei Yehoshua writes that the reason why it's impossible for a married woman to receive a second time Kiddush from somebody else, Moshel Mad Nevedoma, says the Pnei Yehoshua, he doesn't give the example of the car. He lived in the 1700s, but he must have given the example of a horse. He'll give the example of the car. That if I own a car, and I sell the car to Reuven, and then a month later, I decide to sell the same car to Shimon, that's a leitzonus, it's a joke. Once I gave up my rights to the car, it's not my car anymore. Obviously, I ain't other machna davash ena shalot. I can't sell something that doesn't belong to me. Once I sell it to Reuven, it's over. So Pnei Yehoshua says the identical mashal. He says, once the woman hands herself over to Reuven, so she doesn't own herself anymore. She was machna herself to Reuven. Once she's machna herself to Reuven, so then what shaykh part of me machna herself to Shimon? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So the Avnei Meluim, the Balak Tzoyis, the Avnei Meluim says he doesn't think that's correct. Says the Avnei Meluim, the reason why Ein Kiddush and Tosin Be'esh Azish is not just mumminess, it's not just a transactional issue. You know why Ein Kiddush and Tosin Be'esh Azish? Because Esh Azish is an erva. Esh Azish is no different than a person's mother, sister, etc. If Reuven trusts with Mekadosh's mother or his sister or his daughter, Ein Kiddush and Tosin. The parish of Kiddush wasn't given to the relationship of Arayas. That the Gemara learns that from Sukkim. So the Avnei Meluim says, and Esh Azish is no different than the other Arayas. She's in the same list in Parshas Zachar Mos and Kedoshim. So that's the reason why Ein Kiddush and Tosin has nothing to do with Dini Mominus. Dini Mominus is one Parsha, and Issa Hether and Ishus is another Parsha. So what's the point of contention between the Pnei Yehoshua and the Avnei Meluim? So it seems to be, this is the same Nekuda. It's exact same Achlagis. So if I'm not mistaken, when we learned this Sugya back in September, we started from the vantage point of the Pnei Yehoshua and the Avnei Meluim, and we said at the time that that's the same Achlokes, the Rashi and the Ritva and the Avav. So now it's the same sugya, we're just learning backwards. Now we're on the Avav, we've finally discovered the Rashi and the Ritva, and now we can remember, oh yeah, back to the Pnei Yehoshua and the Avnei Meluim. So everything, guess what, we're goes around, comes around, something like that. So the sugya is connected one to another. But there is another approach, possibly in the Rishonim, for sure in the Acharonim, as to why the fact that a person is getting married, why is that somehow not Ribbis Deraisa? He's walking away with a wife, why is that not Ribbis Deraisa?
Even according to both Rishonim, the man is still going to get someone for an Achasim.
Wait, you're right, Rabbi Chonitz. That's right, the next step for the Kasha. You're part three of the Sugi. We'll get there in a minute. So comes the Bir HaGura, comes the Vilna Gaon, and he offers on his own a defense as to why there's no Ribbis Deraisa here. He wants to defend Shittas Rashi. Rashi is the one who started the Sugi rolling. Why there's no Ribbis Deraisa? Just the fact that he got a wife. So the Vilna Gaon says it's a throwback to what we spoke about yesterday. So if you remember, let's just take a quick look again at the seventh of the Marma Kamos. Back to the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchas Mavav Aloyv Perek Vav Aloch Gimel. Hoor Rabbi Say, my Rebbeim have taught me. Shamalvis Chaveiro, a person lends money to his friend. Yachas Man Tavachovo, and then a month later he tries to collect the debt. Amalov Alova, and the Lova says to him, Dor B'chatzeri, live in my backyard, live in my house for free. Until I pay back the chov. So in other words, the lova is going to return the entire debt, but he's going to throw in a little bit of a benefit by giving him free room and board for a month. So that's smacks of ribbis. The mob is walking away with his $100 that he lent, plus a month of living in a house for free. So the Rambam says, it's avak ribbis. Not so bad. The Rambam didn't say it's mutter, but it's only avak ribbis. It's the dust of ribbis. It's only a ribbis dirabanan. Why is it only dirabanan? Because the ktitza, the setting up of the deal of collecting the ribbis was not set in stone at the time of the loan. Shenema lo siten lo beneshech. Rambam's dashing apostle. Rambam's rebbeim are dashing. Lo siten is losher nesina. That refers only to the shas alvah. And any ribbis that's determined to be in effect later, by definition, cannot be a ribbis deraisa. That's a famous shita of Rambam. So we mentioned this yesterday. We said the Raivin and others disagree with this psak of the Rambam. But the Rambam does subscribe to this view that in order to be ribbis deraisa, it has to be ribbis ktsutza, set a certain amount, set bishas alvah. It has to be set up at the time of the loan itself. Says the Vilna Gaon, some of that's pshat in Rashi and Asugya. Why is there no ribbis deraisa in our sugya? When here he lent her $100, and now under the chuppah he says to her, oh, don't worry, I'm makadish you with the hanos bechiles milva, and now you should become my wife. So the Rishonim asked, I ribbis deraisa. So the Gros says, you're right, it should have been ribbis deraisa, but it was later. It wasn't niktas b'shas alva. Since the agreement to the ribbis didn't take effect until later, by definition that can't be ribbis deraisa. So unlike the Rashba who says it's not Ribbis Deraisa because he's not getting anything, unlike the Ritvo said it's not Ribbis Deraisa because he's losing more than he's gaining, the Gra claims with Das Rashi, no, it should have been Ribbis Deraisa. It has all the makings, all the markings of Ribbis Deraisa. The only reason why it falls short is because it didn't kick in Bishas Alvah Mamish. That's the reason why there's no Ribbis Deraisa here. Now this pshat of the Vilna Gaon is going to give even more strength, even more validity to the Shittas Rambam. Because up until now, when we saw the Rambam yesterday, we didn't know, should we follow the Rambam, not follow the Rambam? Ho Rabbi side, the Rabbi disagrees, the other disagrees. Now we have already a Rashi, at least the way the Gros read in Rashi, that Rashi sees eye to eye with the Shittas Rambam. This Rambam is potentially very, very important. If Rashi holds this way, it's even more important for us in terms of the world of Lamaisa. You may be wondering, what we care whether we follow this Rambam? In the end of the day, the Rambam agrees that it is a derabbanan. Nobody would ever say that this is permissible. I lend you $100, and then 6 months later, I say to you, listen, don't just give me back 100, give me 120. Nobody would say that's mutter, that's for sure, also. The Rambam would just say it's only a derabbanan. What do I care? I said derabbanan, what's the difference? So I had a shayla a couple of months ago, very, sometimes they say $1 million shayla. So this was not really $1 million, a couple of $100,000, tens of thousands of dollars of a shayla, lower it down a little bit. The shayla, that there was a, I don't know if I should tell the shayla because I have some people from my shul, and so it didn't have to do with that shul, but it has to do with the rabbi retiring, and some whole package in terms of the rabbi's retirement. Basically, what happened, the basic gist of what happened was, is that apparently the years before, the rabbi had borrowed money from the shul, I think, to buy the house. I don't know all the details, I don't know. But apparently there was some kind of a loan from the shul funds to the Rav, apparently to purchase a house at some point. But now the rabbi was retiring, so he was moving off to Eretz Yisrael, and it was Giazman to pay back the chov. The rabbi didn't have enough money to pay back the chov. So now it was getting to be a very sticky situation. So the shul was now had to do construction, and they were apparently in the process. They needed some more cash flow, and they were going to take out a loan. The problem was that the shul's not going to have to take out a loan, and they're going to have to pay back interest on a loan. And if the rabbi would have had the amount of money to pay back the shul, then everything would have been much cleaner, much easier. So in effect, the shul is taking a loss now, because the shul is taking out a loan at a high interest rate, and the rabbi doesn't have the money to pay back. And so there was a little bit of a sichsuch, a little bit of hard feelings to figure out exactly how to deal with this. So one of the suggestions was made is that the shul should take out the loan. The rabbi apparently wasn't qualifying for the loan, so the shul should take out the loan. And the rabbi was willing to pay the interest amount, the extra amount that's costing the shul for the next 5 years. So the rabbi was willing to pay that back. The problem was, Chamam Shribis. It sounds like a Shribis Gedol Mizel. He borrowed $100,000 a couple of years ago, and now he's going to give back $100,000. He's been paying back some of the money along the way, plus another $10,000, whatever the Ribis is going to be. So how could we ever justify such an agreement of Ribis? So the truth is that if the Shiloh would have been asked in enough time, maybe we could have, written up a hetheriska, written up there are ways to get around Ribis, but apparently the deal had already been set up already. I was hearing this third hand exactly what was going on, and a few of us, some of the Rabbanim, we asked to kind of navigate between this Rav and the Shul. So a suggestion that I had was, based on the Shittas Rambam, that this case is not Ribis Derais, according to the Rambam, because the original loan was, it was an interest-free loan. They lent the Rav years ago, they lent them $500,000, on the condition to pay back $500,000 over the course of the next 20 years. Now, 20 years later, he wants to throw in another $20,000 or something in as Ribis. So this is not Ribis Derais, only Ribis Derabonin. It's Ribis Derabonin, okay, it's still Ribis Derabonin. So the Gemara says in Maseches Bamitzvah in the fifth parak that when you're dealing with Moshe Yisayimim, when you're dealing with money that belongs to orphans, so you're not allowed to lend the money of Yisayimim for Ribis Deraisa, but you are allowed to lend the money for Ribis Derabonin. Any agreement, any deal, that's only a Ribis Derabonin issue, you can use to the benefit of the Nichsei Yisayimim. Why is that? Because the Ribis Derabonin is only Nichsei Derabonin. But Makom Yisayimim lo tiknu Chachamim. The Chachamim didn't want to make it life difficult for the Yisayimim. They wanted the Yisayimim to be able to make as much money as they could. So anything is Ribis Derais, our hands are tied, we can't do. But anything, it's only Ribis Derabonin. So the Gemara says explicitly they lifted all these Surah Ribis Derabonin on behalf of the Yisayimim. So the Rishonim write that kula doesn't only apply to Yisayimim, it applies to any Moshel Tzedakah. It applies to any gemach, any yeshiva, anything that's only a ribis, anything that's only that's a mitzvah type of a setup. So the Rishonim write that's included in that general heter of mutar to do ribis derabanan. So one of the suggestions that we made was that this is shul money. It's not private money. It's shul money. So as shul money, maybe one could argue that if it would be a ribis deraisa shaila, then we have no choice. But if we can somehow knock it down to be a ribis derabanan, so then shul money can be used, can be lent out at a rate of ribis if it's only a ribis derabanan. So the question is, but we have to cross that bridge. We have to get, how is this not ribis deraisa? The shul is giving him $100,000 and he's giving back $120,000. So according to the Rambam, and now maybe according to Rashi, maybe it's not Ribis Deraisa because of this court, because of this leniency that it wasn't Ketutza B'Shas Alva. Because since the whole deal of giving the Ribis was tacked on to the contract 10 years later, so that would knock it down to Ribis Derabanan. Once it's only Ribis Derabanan, so then maybe we can maneuver and say it's shul money anyway and it's for the benefit of the shul, so maybe Ribis Derabanan we can be making. The only problem is that it's only the Rambam. According to the Rav, it would be Mamisha Derais. Right? According to the Rav, it would be Deraisa. So, but yeah, this is one of the Tzadim Lachol. Other suggestions.
What's the Rambam's thought to make to put into the Rambam?
Because he said, Lositen. Rambam's a big believer in Lositen. The Gaon said, Lositen Lebeneshach. It's not Shasta Sina. So this was one of the Tzadim Lachol that maybe combined with a couple of other Tzadim. All you have to do is knock it down to the Rambam, and then maybe we have a right to be a little bit more lenient.
Is that considered ketsutza? Does ketsutza have to be between the lova and the malva? Or, in other words, in this instance, in retrospect, you could set it up so that the rabbi is committing a ketzutza amount to the bank directly, and the malveh, there's no ketzutza negotiation.
Right. Does that make a difference? Right, so that would have been great. If we could have done that, the best case scenario would have been if the rabbi would have taken out a loan in his own name and paid back the bank and used the money that he took out from the bank to pay back the shul. That would have been a phenomenal scenario. The problem is that the rabbi didn't qualify for a loan, so that was the problem. So anyway, so there were other suggestions that were tossed around. I forget already how the whole thing ended out. But I remember this was one of the points that we were being omitted on, was this Raman Ravid. So according to this Birah Gra, so the Raman gets a little bit more strange because Rashi seems to be siding on that as well. But now we get to Azriel's question. Azriel raised the question. Wait a second. We've been talking about, why isn't the marriage the ribbis? Why is the fact that he gets himself a wife, why is that ribbis deraisa? So we answer the Rash for the Ritz for the Gra, etc. But Israel says, wait a second, we have a much more serious problem. The husband's getting real things. The husband's getting her salary from here on in, and anything she finds, all her mitzias that she finds, he's getting a lot of things. When a couple gets married, so there are definitely monetary changes that happen. It's true he becomes obligated in X, Y, and Z, but he also gets A, B, and C. So he gets certain very real, tangible monetary benefits. If she goes to work, so he gets the money. True, he has to support her. And if she chooses and says, listen, don't do me any favor, don't support me, I'll work for myself, and I'll support myself, she has a right to do so. But otherwise, normal circumstances, so he is going to get certain very real, monetary, tangible benefits. So why isn't that the ribbis deraisa? So that question already was posed by Rebbe Chanan. Before Israel came, Rabban Vassaman asked Akasha, said, what happened? The Rishonim don't ask this guy. The Rishonim weren't bothered with this guy. What happened? What happened to all the other Maisi Adayim, everything of this nature? So we have to just fine-tune that question a minute and ask ourselves, would we ask that question? Would all the Rishonim ask that question? So the Rashba clearly would ask that question, because the Rashba was only able to almost wiggle out of Ribbis Deraisa only because he's not getting anything, because Isha's not really Niknes Labayla. So now Rabbi Chanan is great. She's not Niklas Tabayla, but her salary is, her mitzias are, her schanichse maluga, all the other things that come into the marriage very much are. So according to the Rashba, we have to ask the second question. The Rashba only took care of the first half of the question. But according to the Ritva, would we even ask this question? According to the Ritva, we know the husband's getting something. He's getting a wife. The only reason why it's not Ribbis Deraisa is because he's losing a lot also. You have to go to the accountants, you have to start making a spreadsheet to figure out, is he gaining, is he losing? So yes, he's gaining a wife, but he has to support his wife. Yes, he's gaining her theoretical Maisi Adayim, but he has to buy her clothing now. Yes, he's getting her Nichsei Malug, but he has to pay her medical bills. You have to go through the whole Sugars and Ksubas and figure out, at the end of the day, is he monetarily gaining or losing? I don't want to make that statement. Maybe it depends on a lot of different factors, but it's quite possible at the end of the day cost him. Marriage probably, hakol mikol kol, at the end of the day probably cost the person monetarily more than he gains. So according to the Ritva's approach to the sugya, maybe the question is not really a correct question. Maybe the same way that we knocked off the wife not being ribbis deraisa, we can knock off the zchuyas not being ribbis deraisa as well. What about according to the Bi'ar Gra, according to the Vilna Gaon? Would we even pose the question according to the Gra? Probably not. Because according to the Gra, the reason why none of this is ribbis deraisa is because it wasn't b'shas avah. So the answer is nothing was b'shas avah. Not the wife, not the zchuyas, not the nichse malug, not the salaries. I said nothing. Hakol mikol kol was not ketzutza b'shas avah. That's what...
Huh? Dava mitzvah.
What do you mean?
If he's marrying her, it's a dava mitzvah. So the alvar is it's attached to it, like the assumption's like a dava mitzvah.
No, well.
But no, because to a man, it's a mitzvah.
You mean you want to say that? You want to say it's mutter to do this because it's almost like it's like a ribbis, it's like a ribbis bok mitzvah or something. Yeah, but we still have to knock it down to a derabbanan. Ribbis deraisa is going to be a problem. We have to first knock it to a derabbanan, and then after it's a derabbanan, then we can negotiate that it's mutter. So over here, according to the Gra, if Rashi holds like the Rambam, like the Gra is claiming that it's not ketzutza b'shas avah, so we've solved that problem, we've overcome that obstacle, that hurdle of knocking it down to a derabbanan. So this question Rabbi Chanan poses, it's a great question according to one approach in Rishonim. According to the Rashba, to some, this would be a very, very good question. So what's the answer to the good question? What's the answer to this question? So Rabbi Chanan says, the answer to the question is that you have the wrong timing. Says Rabbi Chanan, we're talking about being Mekadesh and Isha. At the time of the Kiddushin, The husband is zeich on absolutely nothing. He doesn't get a ma'asi adayim. He doesn't get a salaries. Doesn't get a payrus. Doesn't get a nichsebelo. Gets nothing. None of that happens until nesuin. We've talked about kedushin and nesuin many, many times. So kedushin takes place now, and nesuin takes place in a year from now. So comes the Bukhara and says, we'll talk about nesuin. We get to nesuin. The Gemara is talking about kedushin. So at the Shas kedushin, the only thing the husband is getting is the wife, to which the Rashba says, that's not called getting anything because she's not his in terms of dinim amanus. The fact that later on they're going to be zechuyos of peiros, my sidaim, and said, good, we'll talk about that. We'll cross that bridge and we'll get there. That's the suin oriented, but that's the kedushin. Maybe the reason why we find that strange is because Bizman Azeb, we don't have that mindset of Kedushin and Nesuin. Kedushin and Nesuin happen within a span of Karafai. You blink your eye as soon as he gives her the ring, so now they're standing under the chuppah, so it's the same thing, Kedushin and Nesuin. According to the Rambam's view about Nesuin, maybe there's a 3-minute break, or depending on how long the Shev Brachas and reading Ksuba or the speeches schlep under the chuppah. But according to the Rambam, the Nesuin does take place to the Yichud rooms. There's a little bit of a hefsek. That's why there were some who used to have the practice. I haven't seen this too many weddings. There's some who used to have the practice that they wanted to minimize the hefsek between the Brachas under the chuppah and the Nesuin, because you're making Shev Brachas, you're supposed to go right to the Nesuin. So there are those who didn't like to dance the Chasar Kala back from the Chuppah. They would just end the Chuppah, break the glass, and then they would zoom, clear the aisle, and the Chasar Kala would zoom out straight to the Yichud room to minimize the Hefsek. I don't think that's the minig. I think Doylem is Zolzayn. It's all Inyan, it's not really considered to be a Hefsek. Anyway, so to get back to that story, so the bottom line is, Agamar told us that the case of Mekadesh B'milva is, Mekadesh B'milva itself doesn't work. Mekadesh B'nos B'milva does work. You're not allowed to do it, but it's only the Rabbanan. So we spent the whole day today trying to figure out why wasn't it Deraisa, either the Rash was Pshat, the Ritva's Pshat, or the Gross Pshat, Vidas Rashi. But notwithstanding all of these wonderful Pshat and the Rishonim, Tosfos is so bothered with this Kasha that Tosfos says Rashi's Pshat is not correct. That everything we've been saying for the last 2 days in terms of just the status of the case of Mekadesh B'nos B'milva is not correct. And first and foremost, the reason why Tosfos didn't like Rashi's Pshat, didn't like our Pshat, didn't like what any of the Rishonim said, is because they were so bothered with this kasha. What happened to Ribbis Deraisa? So if you take a look at the 10th of the Rambam Kamos, so it's in the fourth line into the Tosfos, a little bit in the middle of the line. Umasha Pirish, that which Rashi explained, that there's no ribbis deraisa, the ribbis ktsutz lohavi, that there's no deraisa here. Keva she'ena isha nasenes li'ish klum, because the woman's not giving the man anything. Lo nihira, it's like a little disappointment. We've been talking about this for the last 3 days. In two words, it says it's not right. Lo nihira doesn't appear to be correct. Why? Keva she'u nosin lazeh pruta b'kedushin, lo nosin l'klum. At the end of the day, he was supposed to give her a pruta. He didn't give her a pruta. Havakilu nasta lo pruta mamish. It's as if she gave him a pruta. Babi ribis gomor. This is mamish ribis. He says, what are all these answers talking about? Where is the only ribis derabanan here? We have a real ribis deraisa. At the end of the day, he was supposed to have bought a ring. He didn't buy a ring. He got married to some roundabout way. Lamaisi, he's gaining money on the deal. He lent her 100. He walked away with 100 plus a ring in his pocket. Instead of giving a ring on her finger, he's got a ring in his pocket. So says Tosfos, that's not right. That's Mamas Ribish Deraisa. So what is the case? So comes Tosfos. You take a look. Lochain, it's skipped down. The first one was Pirush Rabbeinu Tam. It's about two lines lower. Pirush Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, unlike my grandfather Rashi, we have an entirely different case. Ta'iri Hocha, Shahaisa Chayevis Mos La'odam Acher. Rabbi Tam brought a third party into the story. We thought up until now that she borrowed $100 from him last week, and we're trying to figure out, is she going to pay back him the loan? Says Rabbi Tam, you have the wrong case. She borrowed $100 from another guy. There's a stranger here. She borrowed $100. V'igiyaz mana lifroa. It's time for her to pay back the chov. I guess she invited the other guy to the chuppah. So now the other guy's standing by the chuppah, and he's pointing to his wallet. He'd like to get his $100 back, and she's walking down the aisle. She has everything to pay. So here, listen to this chassan. V'igiyaz mana lifroa. U'bazeh, the chassan, turns around to the other guy. V'nosed l'mal v'pruta. L'avuche l'azimna. The chosson takes out a dollar out of his pocket and says to the third guy, listen, could you give her a break a little bit? A big tzaddik, he's like, paying back the loan he doesn't do. But he says, give it till after the wedding. Give her another day. Give it till after the Shev Brachas. He has $5 and leave her alone for the next week. And now she is so excited for that thought because she thought she's going to have to come up with $100. She doesn't have the money. So now the chosen turns around to the kallah and says, do you know what I just did for you? I just got your loan to be extended for another week. Aren't you happy? She says, I'm thrilled. So they quickly call the Edom and say, Edom, could you please assess for us how thrilled is she? How happy is she? So the Edom look at the smile. They say, a proof is worth the happiness. The chosen just gave the kallah, a proof is worth the happiness. Good, the kitchen meal, so no. He's Makadisha with that, no. That's the Psha'an de Gemara. So what did Rabbi Tam of Yech? Why did Rabbi Tam add a third person? Very simple. That's what solves the Rebbe's Deraisa problem. Because the Chosid is not the Malva. Very simple. Very plain and simple. Up until now, Rashi's Pshat, the Chosid was the Malva. So, we're in trouble. If the Chosid was the Malva, if he lent her the money last month, and he's getting married to her, he's the Malva, gave her 100, walked away with 100 plus wife, plus ring, plus Zechuyos, whatever it is, we're in trouble, says Rebbe Tam. That's Rebbe's Deraisa. Rebbe Tam didn't like the Rashba's answer, the Ritva's answer, the Groz answer. Rebbe Tam said that would be Rebbe's Deraisa. If the case the Gemara would have been that he lent our money, that would be the Deraisa. What makes it not Deraisa, says Rebbe Tam, is the existence of the third party. There's another Malva here. The Malva is, a third guy, and the Chosin was never the Malva. He was never the Malva. Great, wonderful. Everything is Gevaldi.
It's still Rebbe's Deraisa, it's just for the other guy.
What?
Damn.
But she didn't. But she never gave the money to the guy. The chassid gave it. So Rebbe Tam says because we have the wrong people here. So there's the third person. There's the Rebbe's Deraisa. So Rebbe Tam's pshat sounds great. But then hopefully Mitzvah we'll see next week. Rebbe Tam questions on himself. This pshat may be guilty of overkill. Why? This pshat is so good that it may be no good anymore. Because then why is it Rebbe's Derabanan? So what's wrong? Yeah, there's no marvel, there's no love. It's the wrong people giving money. So, Ribbis, the Rebbe Tam quotes a phrase the Gemara Batzia, well, Asra Torah, El Ribbis Abomi Ad Loveli Ad Malve. Ribbis means when there's a Malve, there's a Loive, and the money goes to Loveli. Here it's going to Yenim, Shmenim, not third guy under the Chuppah, he's a stranger. So that should be so great, it should be so mutter, that it shouldn't be the Rabbanan. So in the process of knocking it down, where Rabbi Natam wanted to change it from Ribbis Deraisa, he was trying so hard to make it into Ribbis Derabanan, he may have gone a little bit too far. He may have made it Mutal Lechatchila. So now Tzitzis is going to have to revamp Rabbi Natam a little bit. So the revamping of Rabbi Natam is going to become critical for us, Allah Lamaisa. This is going to impact on real live business deals, where what exactly Rabbi Natam did say or didn't say, and how far Rabbi Natam goes. Hope that on Tuesday we'll try to continue with the last akudas of this point, Rabbi Natam shot, because Rabbi Natam shot is going to have some serious impact on real live business.